parasha is Bamidbar. Before we start, I would just like to thank Shalom Yaakov Geyer for consistently being here on time and opening the door. I don't see how I could do it unless he did it. So I thank him, and Atid has given him a small gift, which I hope he will be able to put to good use. The end of the parasha of Bamidbar ends with a kind of strange declaration. You look at the psukim at the beginning of the sheet, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon le'mor, al tachritu et shevet mishpechat ha-kohati mitoch ha-leviyim. You know, the Torah has explained to us that when the Mishkan in the desert is taken apart, the different families of Levi are supposed to carry different parts of the Mishkan. The family of Kahat is the family that carried the most sacred, including the Aron HaKodesh, but everything that was on the other side of the Parochet in the Kodesh Kadashim was carried by the family of Kahat. So, there's a special warning at the end of the parasha. Al tachritu et shevet mishpechot ha-kati mitoch ha-leviyim. Don't cut them off. Tachritu, karet. Don't cause them to be cut off. Now, what that means exactly, I don't really know, but I don't think it's not a reference to the punishment that we call karet. But it is, simply, it means they should not be cut off or cut down or destroyed. Why would they be destroyed? V'zot asu lahem v'chayu v'lo yamutu b'gishtam et kodesh ha-kodeshim. So, but this is what they should do. Even though above, Moshe Rabbeinu has instructed them that they're the ones who take down the Aron and all of the Kelim that are in the Kodesh Kodashim. But now he adds a footnote. And he says, this is what you should do. What should you do? Aron Uvanav Yavo. First Aron Uvanav. Kohanim. Now the Kohanim were the only ones who were not complete strangers to the Kodesh Kodashim. Because on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, entered the Kodesh Kodashim. So, the Torah says, before Kahat goes in to take the Kelim and carry them away, and you remember the Aron, the Badei HaAron, those staffs that were hooked into the Aron that you carried them with, they were always there. You didn't have to do anything, right? You just had to lift it up. But he says, first Aron Ubanav Yavo, V'samol Otam Ish Ish Al Avodato, So, they should come in and do something. We know that the way Chazal learned what they were supposed to do was take the parochet, Aron Banav. They took the parochet. The parochet is like a curtain. And cover the Aron with the curtain. And then after they covered the Aron with the curtain, then the B'nai Kahat would come in and take the Aron to wherever B'nai Yisrael happened to be going. And then the last Pasuk says, V'lo yavo'u lir'ot. We find out what the issue is. That the B'nai Kahat should not have to look at the Aron HaKodesh. Because apparently looking at the Aron HaKodesh is devastating. It'll cause a tremendous destruction. So in order to avoid them looking at the Aron HaKodesh, the Kohanim come in and they take the parochet, they cover the Aron with the parochet, and then the B'nai Kahat come in and they pick up the Aron and they walk with the Aron to wherever they are going. So that's the first part of the Pasuk. Lo yavo lir'ot, Kivala et HaKodesh Vametu. Now, that's a difficult pasuk, or difficult stitch in a pasuk, And let's stick to Rashi. What does Rashi say it means? Lo yavol l'rod kvalat ha-kodesh l'toch nartik shelo. That every one of the kelim had a kind of a bag or had a kind of a covering that you put it into. Lo yavol l'rod, they would do all of that. Kemosha pirashti l'mala. And Rashi says, this is what I said, already in the parasha, or the parasha zo, in another pasuk, in pasuk hey, pasuk alav, beget ploni, v'kisa oto b'mechzet ploni, uvalua shalo, hu kaisuyo. So that word that's kind of difficult, kivala et ha-kodesh, means that the kodesh is covered up. The kodesh is covered up. So what is it we're talking about? We're talking about the fact that even though Pirei Kahat were charged to carry the Aron, they still can't look at it. And in order to make sure that they don't look at it, the Kohanim go in and cover up all the Kelim, and then only then do the Pirei Kahat come in and do what they have to do. I want to remind you of something that the Ramban wrote in his introduction. You remember that the Ramban added an introduction to each of the books of the Torah. Right? Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. The introduction to Bereshit, the specific introduction to Bereshit, I think, is part of the introduction to Shemot. And the long introduction that the Ramban wrote, which is usually printed at the beginning of the book of Bereshit, that long introduction could more properly be called the introduction to the Torah. To Torah. What's Torah? There's a long introduction that the Ramban wrote, and that's the topic. The topic's not the book of Bereshit, but the topic is the Torah. And the specific introduction to the book of Shemot includes the idea that Bereshit is Sefer Yitzirah, right? The book of creation. So now you all know that the Torah, in some manner or form, was supposed to end at the end of Vayikra. No? The Torah should have ended at the book of Vayikra, because after the book of Vayikra, what does the last pasuk in Vayikra say? The last pasuk is Vayikra. Eile, it says, Hachukim v'mishpatim, these are them. These are them. What do you mean, these are them? Finished. We're finished. What does the last parish in the book of Vayikra contain? What we have come to call the Tochacha. But it's not the Tochacha. It's not a Tochacha. What is it? The parasha of Bechukotai. The parasha of Bechukotai is an agreement. If you do good, you get good. And if you don't do so good, you're not going to get, you're going to get bad, right? That's what it says. That's the end of, so that agreement was forged between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael when they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. So, what happened? What happened was the parish of Shlach. The parish of Shlach is the parish of the Meraglim. And because of the parish of the Meraglim, the Jews were unable to enter Eretz Israel. Instead, they drayed around in the desert for 38 years. Now, the story of those 38 years is told where? Where's the story of those 38 years? In the book of Bamidbar. I mean, it doesn't tell us what happened every day. But it tells us a couple of things that are of great significance in the book of Bamidbar. So the book of Dvarim, what's the book of Dvarim? It's a couple of days at the end of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it includes a lot of mitzvot that we didn't know about. Had the Jews gone into Eretz Yisrael, when would we have learned those mitzvot? All those mitzvot that are in the book of Dvarim, we would have learned them from Yoshua ben Nun. And they would probably be included in his book, in the book of Yoshua ben Nun. But since the Jews did not go to Eretz Yisrael, where they got to Arvot Moav, all these extra mitzvot, which Moshe Rabbeinu knew about from Har Sinai, were taught to Bnei Yisrael in Arvot Moav. So the book of Bamidbar, according to this sequence of events, is a book which in theory, like somehow, I don't know if you're supposed to say this or you're not supposed to say this, so I'll introduce it by saying, I don't know if you should say it or you shouldn't say it, but the book of Bamidbar is not part of the original plan. Because the original plan was when Israel should leave the tribe, should get the Torah, go to Eretz Yisrael. That was the plan. The 38 extra years were the result of Bnei Yisrael's, inability to live up to the demand. Now, if you look at the sheet says, you see this, the next section says Ramban, Hakdama L'Sefer Bamidbar. Right, you see? So the Ramban wrote an introduction to this book of Bamidbar, in which he says, if you look at I'm not going to do the whole thing, because it's not relevant, but if you look four lines from the bottom, towards the end of the line, you see a Sefer Hazeh, where it says a Sefer Hazeh? Yes? Here. I'll highlight it. Okay, now you all see it? Good. It always works. Hasefer Hazeh, the Ramban says, Kulo b'mitzvot sha'ah. What's mitzvot sha'ah? I don't know. I mean, it's not a halakhic term, but it is what it sounds like. Mitzvot sha'ah, mitzvot which were given to Bnei Yisrael in the desert, for the time that they were in the desert. So it's not, there are no real mitzvot. There are no real mitzvot. As Sefer Hazeh kulo mitzvot sha'ah, shenitztavu behem ba'amdam ba'midbar, uvenisim anasim lahem, lesapek kol ma'aseh Hashem esa imahem lavli. I mean, you remember any miracles? Remember the snakes? Remember the Nechash Nechoshet, the copper snake that Moshe Rabbeinu? That's miracles. Miracles are not something that you have to carry with you. They're there, they come, they go. Lovely, v'siper, ki achel latet oyvehem lifnehem lecharef. And you see that at the end of the book, towards the end of the book of Bamidbar, the enemies, Sichon and Og, they were the great enemies. He said, "Latet oyvehem lifnehem lecharef." V'tziva, ech techalek ha'aretz. And finally, in the parish of Pinchas, you remember? It's a way down. We didn't get there yet. In the parish of Pinchas, the Torah commands Moshe Rabbeinu to begin dividing up the land of Eretz Yisrael. Tzivayachi techalek ha'aretz lahem. Ve'ein b'sefer hazeh. You ready? Ve'ein b'sefer hazeh mitzvot no'agot l'dorot. I mean, even though it's part of the Chavisha Chumshei Torah, it's more like Breishit than it is like Dvarim. Because in the book of Bamidbar, there are no mitzvot, and in the book of Breishit, there are hardly any mitzvot. I wouldn't say no mitzvot, but hardly any mitzvot. And then he says, the Ramban says, Zulati k'tzat mitzvot. Okay, here and there, there's a mitzvah. This is not a perfect setup. But the smell of the book of Bamidbar is the smell of a book that doesn't have mitzvot in it. And then he says, Zulatik sat mitzvot v'inyanei ha-korbanot she'tchil behem b'sefer ha-kohanim. He says, it's true that in Bamidbar, there is in fact in the parasha of Pinchas, right, you have all of the korbanot that were brought on the different moadim. He says, okay, that's kind of an addition to Vayikra. Because that doesn't count, the Ramban is saying. It doesn't change the essential nature of the book. It doesn't change the essential nature of the book. So this is the book which does not have mitzvot in it. But an interesting side point you may remember, in the Mishnah the question is this command that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that the B'nai Kahat should not be able to look at the Aron, is that a mitzvah? Or is it not a mitzvah? So there's a machloket we showed him about whether it's a mitzvah or not. The Rambam says it's not, and the Ramban says it is. But the Gemara says that from this pasuk, you learn that Agonev et HaKasava was over a lav. A kasava is a kli, a vessel. Some vessel has to do the Beit HaMikdash. If you steal it, you're chayev, and you're chayev from here. So let's summarize. According to the Ramban, the book of Bamidbar is not a book of mitzvot. It's almost an extra book of the Torah, which was generated by the fact that Bnei Yisrael did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael after the Meraglim. And their punishment was that they would spend 38 years wandering around the desert. And those 38 years basically are recorded here in the book of Dvarim. Right? The highlights. The highlights of 38 years are in the book of Dvarim. Bamidbar. In the book of Bamidbar, the book of Dvarim, of course, has a lot of mitzvot and a lot of directives, a lot of conversation, but it took place several days before the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if you had to ask the question, this idea that the B'nai Kahat cannot look at the Aron, does this idea continue to exist? Is it true always? So you may remember, because we mentioned it once, that there's a Gemara in Yuma. And the Gemara in Yuma says that when B'nai Yisrael would come on Yom HaKippurim to daven in the Beit HaMikdash, they would open up the parochet. They would open up the curtain that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim. And when they opened it, everybody could see the Kruvim. And there the Gemara says, people looked. If the Kruvim were facing each other, that means that B'nai Yisrael found favor in the eyes of heaven. If the Kruvim were turned away from each other, looking at the house, the Bayit, the Beit HaMikdash, then that was a sign that B'nai Yisrael had not achieved the proper level of devotion to God. So the question that we would ask based on this pasuk about the B'nai Kahat, how was it possible that B'nai Yisrael was allowed to look at the Kodesh Kodoshim, even though the information that they received was important information? But isn't there a contradiction between the fact that the B'nai Kahat could not go into the Kodesh Kodoshim, even though they had a job to do, they specifically had to go in. And here, B'nai Yisrael is given the opportunity to go in to the Kodesh Kodoshim. And so, you know, we'll leave that question for a moment. If you look at the source which begins by Midbar Rabbah, here, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, the third line, the middle of the third line. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Levi Barab Shalom Rotze Atal Lilmod Be'eze Inyan Meitin B'nei Kahat. Says, I want to learn about this problem. What is it that would cause the death of B'nei Kahat? Tzeyu Lamad Mina Mikra Hazeh V'lo Yavo Lir'ot Kivala, the chulei, the pasuk that we saw, v'lamed, k'shayaba in lit'on et Aaron, when they would come in to carry the Aaron HaKodesh, ayu mefarkin et haparochet mipanav, vayu zanim einehem min ha'aron. So they would take off the, this is what the Medrash says, that not that the Kohanim would come in, but that Rashi says the Kohanim came in. The Medrash says they themselves would take off the parochet and cover the Aron. Make sure you by inlet on et Aron, to carry the Aron. Ayum mefarkin et parochet mipanav, vayu zanim einehem min ha'aron. Lefikach hayu mitkalim, and they would kind of be eaten up, shenemar, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Remember that pasuk? We'll look at it in a minute. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, God's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, who wanted to see God. And God says to him, lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. It's not possible. V'hei chasala Moshe takana. Well, how did he fix this problem? Amar lo Elokim b'sha'ashiyah mefarkim et ha-mishkan, lo yu b'nei kat mefarkin et ha-parochet b'nei Aaron, elo yu b'nei Aaron nechlasim u'mefarkin oto. It was like kind of a development. First, b'nei kat thought they could do it themselves. Then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, the Kohanim should come in. They should come in and do it. Shelo yamutu mina mistaklin ba'aron. D'amar v'lo yavo lerot givala. Ze ha'aron imosim kain ma'o kivala ba'rabi levi imro in ba'aron kivala hazeh shehu nofel min ha'ayin, something that is like if you see it but you don't see it because it's covered up, like you look at it but you don't see the aron, you just see the cover on the aron, hazeh shehu nofel min ha'ayin yadei meitim teida. And then he says teida mi'anshei beit shemesh she'amar v'chulei. So who are the Anshei Beit Shemesh? Look at the next source. You see the next source? Well, you know, everybody today knows where Beit Shemesh is. So imagine it's the same place. Right? Beit Shemesh is in Beit Shemesh. What happened was that the Philistines, the Plishtim, were able to conquer the Aron, to capture it. And they kept it for a long time. Something like, you know, the Hamas and Shalit, right? They captured the Aron HaKodesh, and they kept it. They kept it out, and then they realized that they were being punished. People were sick, and people were dying. The Philistines, and they decided that they wanted to give it back. And they did. They gave back the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh had to be brought from wherever it was in Philistine territory, which is like the Gaza Strip. What we call the Gaza Strip, they called it Philistine land. So they brought back the Aron Kodesh. And then if you look here, you look, the story, Pasuk Aleph, you see Shmuel Aleph Perek Vav, Vayihi Aron Hashem B'Shnei Plishtim Shiva Chodashim. That's a long time. That is a long time. And we're not sure exactly what the Aron, we talked about this also, what this Aron contained, because this was the Aron that they took with them when they went to war. So they were going to war with the Philistines, but the Philistines outsmarted them and stole the Aron. And then B'nai Yisrael, of course, couldn't fight because they were in such a state of distress. So Pasuk Aleph says, Vayon Hashem b'shnei plishtim shiv'a chodashim. Vayikru'u plishtim lekohanim lekosmim lemor, ma nase l'aron Hashem, hodiyunu v'ma nishlechanu limkomo. Vayomru im mishalchim et aron elo ke Yisrael, al tishalchu oto rekam, ki yashev tashivu lo Hashem, az tirapu'u v'nodalechem lama lo tasu yado mikem. Vayomru maha Hashem, asher yashiv lo vayomem espar sarnei plishtim chamisha. There were these five Philistine officers that would come back with the Aron. That's what, so there was, they, the description of the way they went to get to Beit Shemesh. If you skip until Pasuk Yud Bet, right, Yud Bet, Vayisharna HaParot Baderech HaDerech Beit Shemesh B'Misila Achat Alchu Haloch V'Gaov V'Lo Sari Yaminu Smo V'Sarnei Plishtim Ochrim Achrihem Adgul Beit Shemesh. So there was a wagon, and the wagon was pulled by oxen, and behind the oxen and the Aron was on the wagon, there were these Sarnei Plishtim, right? It was like transfer. You know, you can imagine the Red Cross on one of these bridges, and there's going to be a transfer from them to us, from us to them. That's how it works. You have to have the us, and you have to have the them. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Slicha. Beit Shemesh, Kotrim Ktsir Chitim Ba'emek, Vayisu Et Einehem, Vayu'u Et Aron, Vayismichu Lirot. They looked up, the people of Beit Shemesh, and they saw the Aron was coming, and they were filled with joy. Vagala Baal Stei Yoshua Beit HaShimshi V'tamod Sham V'sham Evin Gdola V'vakshu Et Atzei Agala V'et HaParot Et HaParot He'elu Ola L'Hashem. They started sacrificing, and they were very happy. V'aloviyim Horidu Et Aron HaShem V'et HaGaz Asher Ito Asher Bo Klei Zahav V'yasimu Et El HaEvin HaGdola V'anshe Beit Shemesh. So they stopped. The procession stopped, and they took the Levium, took the Aron off of the wagon and put it on a big stone so that everybody could see. Everybody wanted to see, because this was the Aron that was missing for months, 7 months. So they were all interested in looking, and that's what they did. They all looked at the Aron. Pasuk Yutet. We'll skip a pasuk Yutet. Vayach ba'anshei Beit Shemesh. God punished them. Ki ra'u ba'aron Hashem. Because they saw what they should not have seen. They saw the Aron Hashem. When did they see the Aron Hashem? When the Aron was taken off of the wagon and put down on the ground or put down on the stone. So they saw what they were not supposed to see. Where does it say they weren't supposed to see it? Well, right here in our Psukim at the end of the parasha of Bamidbar. Vayach ba'am shivim ish, chamishim elef ish, vayitablu ha'am keika Hashem ba'am makad gdola. So it's hard to understand, you know, what the emotions would have been. They didn't have the Aron suddenly. They saw the Aron, they were full of joy, they started giving sacrifices, and then there was this tremendous destruction amongst the men of Beit Shemesh who saw what they should not have seen. So there's no doubt that the mitzvah that is discussed at the end of the Parsha Bamidbar was still in force at this time when the Plishtim stole the Aron. And when it came back to Bnei Yisrael, all of the people who were there, all the people of Beit Shemesh, transgressed this law that they're not allowed to look. So go back again, and I just ask you, what happened in the Beit HaMikdash? What happened in the Beit HaMikdash? But there are two more things that I'd like to tell you. One is the pasuk at the bottom of page 2. Right, the pasuk at the bottom of page 2 says, Vayomer Paro to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech me'alai, Hishamer lecha, be careful, be watchful, Al tosef re'ot panai. What does Al tosef re'ot panai mean? I don't want to see you again. I don't want to see you again. But when the king says, I don't want to see you again, how does he say it? I don't want you to see my face. I don't want you to see my face. I mean, even though Paro was not a great guy, and he was certainly not a great Talmid Chacham, but it is true, or we know that it's true, that we are enjoined, we are directed to learn about Malchut, about kingship, from non-Jews. And the Ramban says in the Parasha of Tetzaveh, V'Nitzav, the Parasha of Tetzaveh is about Big Day Kuhuna, yafeh. It's about Big Day Kuhuna. You know, the Big Day Kuhuna were very fancy. a lot of gold, a lot of tassels, and a lot of bells and whatever. And the Ramban says, you want to know how to make Begidei Kuhuna? You look at the king. So if you read Begilat Esther, in Begilat Esther there are statements about the clothing that was worn by the king in Poras, and the clothing was transferred at the end of the Begilah to Mordechai, right? Not to Haman. Haman first, and then to Mordechai. So that there is a certain amount of importance to clothing if you're talking about Malchus. So I just quote this pasuk to say that this lingo, the way Paro said it, Al Tosef Lerot Panai, is like saying you are not worthy of standing in my presence. Now, anybody can say that. But the way that the king says it is this. He showed Elechal Tosef Ra'ot Panai, Ki Biyom Ra'ot Cha Panai Tamut. Right? Like, what's the Aveir? What did he do wrong? He was not invited. Esther said, I have not been invited. I have not been invited for a long time. So what will happen? What will happen? Am I worthy? Lir'ot p'nei ha-melech. That was Esther's dilemma. And that dilemma is reflected in this pasuk and in the formulation that Paro made when he was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now finally, let's look at these psukim. Shemot Perek Lamed Gimel, we already saw a reference to Shemot Perek Lamed Gimel in the Medrash. On page 3, and this is like one of the most, it's one of the most theological group of psukim in the Torah. It doesn't tell me how I am. It doesn't tell me how God is. It tells me how the relationship is. And after all, that's what everybody is looking for. I mean, all religious people are looking for the relationship. Unfortunately, they can train themselves to do without it. But that's what they're looking for. I mean, the ones who still have the energy to look. So here you see, Vayomer Moshe Hashem Re'eh, Ata Omer Elai, Halat Amazeh V'ata Lo Hodatani, Eit Asher Tishlachi Mi, V'ata Amarta Yedaticha V'Shem, V'gam Atzata Chayim Me'inah. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes into a kind of a conversation which is subsequent to the conversation that he had with the Kaddish Baruch Hu about the building of the Egel HaZahav. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for forgiveness. And forgiveness meant that Bnei Yisrael would not be wiped out and they would be able to continue to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu apparently received from God that forgiveness. And Bnei Yisrael were going to live and they would continue on the way to Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not satisfied. He knew that something had changed. And what is it that he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this pasuk Yud Bet? Ata lo hodatani et asher tishlach imi. You have not clarified, you God, Hashem, you have not clarified who will lead us to Eretz Yisrael. Who is taking us? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vata, imna matzati chen ba'inecha, hodi'eni na et birachecha, ve'eida'acha, l'man imtza chen ba'inecha, ure'ei, ki amcha ha'goy hazeh. I mean, he's sort of supplicating God. Please be nice to us. Be good with us. Let's have this relationship. We don't know exactly what he's talking about. Vayomar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Panaye lechu v'anichoti lach. Panaye lechu, Rashi says, lo eshlach od malach. Ani batzmi elech. Panai yelechu. The word panim, the word panai, as we saw with Paro, The word panai means everything. If you say God's face, you mean all of God. Panai yelechu. And then, Pasuk tedva vayom elav imein panecho olchim al ta'aleinu bazeh. He says, if you don't go with us, your face, Moshe Rabbeinu says, your face doesn't go with us, al ta'aleinu. We say, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Uvamegi devada eifo ki matzati chayim beinecha ba'ani v'amcha halo belechtecha imanu v'niflinu ani v'amcha mikol ha'am ashal p'nei adamah. Right? We're special. We're separate. Vayom Hashem el Moshe גם את הדבר הזה שדיברת אעשה, כי מצאת חן בעיני ועידך בשם. This too, פני, my face, will go, will lead בני ישראל in that direction. פסוק י"ח, ויאמר. Now what's left? What is left for Moshe Rabbeinu to ask for? Moshe Rabbeinu asked for forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. Moshe Rabbeinu asked that God should go with them too. Eretz Yisrael, God said, okay. I mean, what's left? What is left? Vayomer, Pasuk Yudchet, Vayomer hareini na et kivodecha. Rashi, you see the Rashi, Pasuk Yudchet, Ra'am Moshe. Shayet Ratzon is Rebbe Kubalim, Vosim Lishol, Lir Oto Ma'it Kvodo. So he said, oh, I'm on a roll. I got forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to Eretz Yisrael. Let me ask the ultimate request that any person would ask in my position. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Hareini Na'at Kvodecho. Vayomer, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Aponecha. וקראתי בשם השם לפניך, וחנותי את אשר אכול וריחמתי את השם, את אשר ערכם. רשי says, הגיע שעה שתראה בכבודי מה שארשה אותך לראות. הקדוש ברוך הוא is acquiescing according to Rashi to this request. הראיני נא את כבודך, ויאמר, אני אביא כל טובי על פניך, וקראתי בשם השם מפניך, וחנותי את אשר אכול ורחמתי את אשר ארחם. Okay, if the door HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yes, says this is going to happen, הראיני נא את כבודך, there'll be הראיני נא את כבודך. So then, פסוק, כף, Sipasukav, it all comes to an end. Vayomer, lo tuchal lirot et panai, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. You won't be able to see my face. Rashi, av k'sheavir kol tovi al panecha, even though I will pass all the goodness upon your face, eini matein lecha reshut lirot et panai, that not. You can't see my face. In other words, the malchut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be compromised. Even in a remarkable time when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be allowed to see something that no one else has ever seen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vayomer Hashem, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Hinei Makom Iti V'Nitzavta Al Atzur. Sit down on this rock. V'haya b'avor kvodi, when kvodi, kavod, passes by Moshe Rabbeinu, v'samticha b'nikrat hatzur, you'll be in this kind of crevice in the rock. V'sakoti kapi alecha ad ovri, and I will somehow put my hands over you until I pass. Vasiroti et kapi, after I pass. Ra'ita et achorai, ufanai lo yerau. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu. He is he's involved in the greatest religious moment of all history. Actually, coming into contact with God such that the kavod of God, the panim of God, will be available to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, okay, kavod, but no panim. No panim. So if I think of the essential nature of the presence of God, the word that is the word that we use or should use is panim. Is panim. And that's why we say, ki ba'or panecha natata lanu. Hashem Elokeinu, Torat Chaim, Avot Chesed. Where do we say that? What? At the end of Shemoneh Esrei, right? Yes? Ki ba'or panecha natata lanu. What's or? Or, you know, it's the incomprehensible light. I mean, that's what or is. Or is kind of, even today, sort of incomprehensible. You know, is it this or is it that? It expands endlessly. It could be contained. It's like different. I mean, you don't have to be a physicist to know that light, amongst the things that we might come into contact with, that light is very unique and strange. Kibor panecha natata lanu, Hashem Elokeinu. Where does Torat Chayim Vavet Chesed come from? Or panecha. That's what we say. Where is the Or Panecha located? The Or Panecha is obviously located Bein HaKruvim, between the cherubs that were on top of the Aron Kodesh, because that's where Moshe Rabbeinu went to learn the Torah. So the Or Panecha Natata Lanu, through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the next parasha in the Torah, and he taught that to Bnei Yisrael, and that's Or, Torah Or. Right, Torah Or. Or Panecha. Panim means that's as close as you can get. Who tried to get even closer than that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chet HaEgel, beseeching God for mercy and receiving that mercy, wanted to kind of close the deal with a special awareness of the presence of God, even more than he had on Har Sinai, which is called Kavod. That's Kavod, because that's what it says in the Pasuk. And now we're up to Panim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Panim, you can't see. Can't get Panim. And so at the end of the Parsha Bamidbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Levim, who were supposed to carry the Aron HaKodesh, they said, but you understand that you cannot come to the panim. You can't see the face of God. Where is the face of God found? The face of God is found between the kruvim on the Aron HaKodesh. That's as close as you could possibly come. So I asked the question, if that's true, and all of that I imagine is true, on some level of truth, how is it possible that when the Israel were asked to stand and look at the Kruvim on Yom HaKippurim to see if they were doing well or they were not doing well? So I remind you, the Kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech built, so I want to finish that sentence, were different than the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Now, even though it's true that if you learn, I mean, we talked about this once, even though it's true that if you learn the parasha in the book of Shmuel, the book of Divrei Hayomim, certainly there's a kind of an imitation that was done. Like the kelim of the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech were imitations of the kelim in the Mishkan. They were imitations. So if they were imitations, if they were, they should sort of be the same. But we know that the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech were not imitations. If you look in the relevant Psukim in Shmuel and Divrei Yamim, and you remember, I think we even brought in a picture, those pictures are not so helpful because the people who wrote those, who made those pictures weren't there. It's like just a picture. It's like virtual. Everything's virtual. But people tend to believe a picture more than they believe. You know, so if I say I don't know what it looked like and you bring in a picture, so you're going to win, right? So the kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made stood on the floor of the Beit of the Kodesh Kadashim. The two kruvim, right, with their wings, right, their wings spread, filled up the whole room, and they stood in front of the Aron HaKodesh. These kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech made, which means that the kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu did not exist. The kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu were the kruvim of Panim, at Panai Tir'u. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those kruvim. But when that was finished, and Shlomo HaMelech came to build the Beit HaMikdash, he didn't need kruvim. He needed a different kind of kruvim. He didn't need the kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu built, because those were the kruvim that delineated the panim, the place of God, from which Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Torah directly. But in the Beit HaMikdash, the Torah already existed. There was no need for those kruvim. So Shlomo HaMelech built new kruvim. He built new kruvim that served a different purpose. So that only leaves the people from Beit Shemesh. Right? The people from Beit Shemesh, what Aron were they looking at? Were they looking at the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu or the Aron of Shlomo HaMelech? Clearly, they were looking at the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu, because that story took place long before the Beit HaMikdash was actually built. So that the Isur, the prohibition of looking at the Panim on the Aron HaKodesh was in place. And that's why the Rambam says, the Rambam says that this lav, as the Ramban said, that this lav, that you shouldn't look at the Aron HaKodesh, was only true in the Midbar, but not in the Beit HaMikdash. It was not true, there was no lav in the Beit HaMikdash, because you see, people looked at the kruvim. So I say like you could take one object, you take the Aron. And of course the Aron, has a lesson. There's a lesson in the Aron. There's something that we have to kind of tune ourselves into. Something we have to think about. And that is that, sanctity is always problematic. Because we understand, and this is something that the Baal HaTanya speaks about at length, we have to understand that we're not really fit for sanctity. Because how would it be if we would be in a Makom Kadosh, the presence of God, and you're hungry? You say, excuse me, I've got to go eat a sandwich. And it's sort of like jarring. This idea that in the middle of this experience, we would have to take care of our bodies. You see, the Baal HaTanya is very kind of concerned about this. It's not that taking care of your body is a bad thing. It's just that, the Baal HaTanya maybe says it is, but we'll say it isn't. Taking care of your body is not a bad thing, but it creates a digression. There's something else. There's something else to do. It's something else you're interested in. And you can't help yourself. You can't really help yourself. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to see your face, he obviously thought of the lesson. Can you imagine that he would be able to guide Bnei Yisrael into seeing the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That would be remarkable. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him that ultimately there's a divide between Bnei Adam and heaven. And that divide is emphasized again and again in the Torah, starting from Migdal Bavel, from the Tower of Babel, where the people wanted to do something that could be interpreted as a good thing. They wanted to bring the earth up to heaven. They wanted to be with the gods. They didn't want to be with the second stringers in the world. They would spend all their time fighting and talking. They wanted to be with God. You know that the most remarkable description in the book of the Rambam is that the Rambam describes, and he quotes it right out of Chazal, how it'll be in Olam Haba. How will it be? Well, it'll just be great. Because there's nothing greater than the Shekhinah. That's what the Rambam said. There's nothing greater than being near Shekhinah. So, yes, but that's in Olam Haba, not in Olam Hazeh. So in Olam Hazeh, you could only see a little bit of God. And you have to hope that the rest of what you might be able to see will come upon you in Olam Haba. And so Bnei Kahat were charged with carrying the Aron from one place to another. You would think, okay, they're charged so they could do it. Isn't that what it means when God tells you to do something? And yet here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is that somebody should be in charge. And that Bnei Kahat are the ones who are chosen, but they really can't do it. Because if they mistakenly take a look at the Aron, if they attempt to see the Panim, if they look between the Kruvim, between those cherubs and see the place which we call Pinei Hashem, they have to be killed. The transgression cannot be overlooked. And so Moshe Rabbeinu was not able, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not just a person, but he was the leader, he was the teacher, he was the example, so you couldn't see God's face, Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, there was a law established which worked in the desert against Bnei Kahat, and finally against the people in Beit Shemesh. And then, however, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, he understood that the situation had changed, that the Torah had been taught, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going in, and in fact, the Kohanim had the use of the Urim V'Tumim, which sort of took the place of the future telling that God might have of the Mishkan. And so, he built the Beit HaMikdash, he put in the Aron, but he did not use the same Kruvim. The Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu used were the Kruvim that Bnei Yisrael would be able to look upon to see what the spiritual state of the nation was. The other Kruvim that were forbidden did not exist and were not reproduced by Moshe Rabbeinu. Have a good Shabbos.